I don't have the mic on. So, Chris, why don't you lead us an opening prayer and put it over to him.
Well, that was cool. We got some good feedback going there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about our servant leadership and missions retreat that we just had with the young people last weekend. Lots of folks here were involved. We're going to spend some time telling you what a blessing it was to us and hopefully what a blessing it is to you all as a congregation and as a church to see the future generations and what they are learning and how receptive and how positive they are to the truth. And so if you would start with me this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. Father, we have the opportunity to get together as a congregation in a free country to study your word and to enjoy and to learn all the things that you have provided for us. We have the freedom to spread the word of God, the gospel, to these young people and to the congregation. And we just pray, Father, that the vision that we have for Liberty Youth Camp and Liberty Youth Ministries is to share the gospel around the world, one young person at a time. And Father, we ask that the studying and the fellowship and the teaching that we did last weekend will be glorifying to you, and that it will be a part of living out that vision and mission for what you've asked us to do. Father, we thank you for this congregation and all that they do to support the ministry. And we just pray this morning, Father, that we can bring some joy through the Holy Spirit in reviewing some of the things we talked about and in spending time just giving thanks for all you've done through all of these things in this church and the humble assembly that we are in numbers right here, but the massive outreach that we have through the power of your Spirit and all that you've done through it. In Christ's name, amen. So we do have some prayer requests this morning, and I will, let's see. I'm supposed to read this, right, Herman? I read this. Slam Camp was a wonderful camp. Thanks in part to your prayers. We'll talk more about that, but that's absolutely the truth. It's a blessing to be able to be a part of the Slam Camp. It's one of the most wonderful things that we have, I think, and I think if you ask some of the staff, it's probably one of the most powerful and wonderful opportunities that we get to spend with these young people. We get to know them really well. They get to know each other really well. And camp is awesome. It's like 5 days of total chaos that's controlled only by God, which, thank goodness, it's not controlled by us. Slam Camp's a little more laid back and easygoing, and we have the opportunity to really just relax and spend time and get to know the young people and hear their conversations about what they believe and how they believe it. And we'll talk more about that today. We do have some prayer requests. Mr. Harvey, your mom, how's she doing?
She's stable.
Stable?
Stable. It's a bit waning.
Bit what?
But waning.
Waning?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll be in prayer for John's mom. Grady Harris's father, stage 4 cancer. Friday, Grady and Vicky went to be with Grady's father. He is heading into hospice. I think he is ready to go at any time whenever the good Lord decides it's time to promote him home. So please be in prayer for Grady and their family and Vicky and for peace and understanding and the opportunity, so be it, if the Lord takes him home soon, which could be today, could be right now. That they will, yeah, Sunday morning in worship, maybe they'll play a little Toby Mac loud music for him, and I don't know, just saying, could happen. But please be in prayer for Vicky and Grady and their family and the peaceful passing of their father as he's promoted home. Terry's father, Johnny, how's surgery?
He's doing good. Dad's doing fine.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't have surgery. He was just recovering from a long hospital stay.
Okay, he did not have surgery. All right, let me update that on the notes. Heather Hess's mom, Kathy Martin, she's had several strokes. Left side is paralyzed. She's now in rehab and has moved a couple of fingers on her left side. So that's awesome. Pray for... She's now moved her whole arm, okay? So, yeah. I've actually met her mom, and that wouldn't surprise me. So pray for a full recovery and for perseverance and glorification of God through all these things.
For Heather on that too. Just got a note from Heather a couple days ago, and she's pretty overwhelmed.
Yeah,
she said she felt like she was busy before, but now she's pretty overwhelmed with what she's trying to take care of. So prayers for her.
Yeah. Yes.
Heather's the younger daughter, Courtney, was just out of the hospital too for her and her surgery.
Yeah.
So Heather's handling a lot. Tyson's handling a lot. Be in prayer for their family, because that can become very overwhelming and very concerning in your spiritual battle. So let's pray for the missionaries, the Risley family, the Hills over in Africa, and I'm going to tell a little story right now. We had the opportunity to hear from Fassel and Carrie. Actually, we heard from Carrie. Fassel had told Carrie and the family that there was, when he was over, he's still over in Pakistan, he was being cursed by somebody who was a demon and devil worshiper in Pakistan. And the guy was trying to curse him to the point where he would not leave not leave Pakistan alive. And it was, and y'all, if you think the spiritual battle is, we don't see that kind of stuff here unless you go to New Orleans, right? And we don't see it as frequently, but it is real, and it's serious, and it is a battle. I talked to the young people, some of the young guys the other day, that this stuff is real. This dark spirits and these sorts of things, it's in the Bible, and it's real, and it's a battle. Well, right after this was going on, Fassel came down with typhoid fever. And here, typhoid fever is not very common, one, and we have the medications, we have the ability to combat it pretty quickly. But in Pakistan, not so much. And so he came down and became very, very, very sick in Pakistan. And through the power of prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the healing, he turned right back around and knocked it out. And is now, I think he's still recovering to some degree, but he's good. He's fine. And so the power of prayer, we all got together at Slam Camp and we got the word, and we stood together and prayed for Fassel. And that morning, we got an email that morning that said, hey, he was down. This was Saturday morning. We prayed for him Saturday afternoon, and by Sunday morning, they already sent us a report that he was feeling much better and had broken through the fever. So the power of prayer is real, and so let's not put those things aside. And then last on the list I have here, definitely be in prayer for President Trump and for Vice President Pence and for our country. Hopefully everybody saw the news that we actually went after the Syrian regime. And so I'm not going to decide one way or another whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. But suffice it to say, it's another opportunity for us to be in harm's way with our military. And so pray for our military as well. Any other prayer requests?
Yes, sir.
I got a good prayer, bad prayer, bad situation. My friend's granddaughter was on suicide watch a couple weeks ago. She's outpatient, and she's looking forward to going to college. And now her younger sister has gotten over her depression. Her being sick and stuff. My friend Billy Dawn, he's got prostate cancer and dementia, and he's depressed. Billy Dawn, the songwriter. So he needs some prayers.
How's Jimmy doing?
I spoke to him a week or so ago. He's back in the hospital, man, in and out.
Okay.
Doesn't look good.
Spiritually?
It's a whole package. Okay. It's a whole package.
It's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. Yes, sir.
My nephew, Seth Harrison, has been redeployed to the military just a couple weeks ago. Publicly, Kuwait, but we really don't know exactly where he's going to be.
Sure.
What's his name?
Seth Harrison.
Definitely. All of our military guys and gals.
One of the members of our cigar church, Gene, and, he's been going through a lot. Just,
okay.
Yes, sir. My next door neighbor, the lady that's got the breast cancer, her husband, I guess the prayer that's answered is really working with his wife, and I think they're both growing closer together. Just a continued prayer for their spiritual journey.
Okay. Yes.
This is for my friend Christina Green at work. Her father is over 90 years old, I don't remember. He has been a lifetime smoker, and they found that he has cancer spread all over him, but he's too fragile to be treated. So they don't know how long he's going to live, and he's a veteran. So she went down to try to look for the hospice for him, but the area was too dangerous, and she asked if we could pray that she would get a proper hospice where you know, she can actually go visit him in the evening and not feeling afraid of being attacked.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, appreciate it if you come on. My brother, having back on the prayer list, younger brother's got cancer in his liver and his lungs and kidneys and bones. Ribs went in last Thursday evening for a kidney failure. And low blood pressure, you know, everything. Creatinine was down up to 9.7. And his white count was down to 1. So he's, they got him stabilized and he's recovering well enough yesterday afternoon. He was up taking a shower and shaving, so he's recovered from the moment.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Two from Mickey Bell. Mickey has a good friend, Pam. Pam's mother passed away just a few days ago. So prayer for peace and comfort in the family. Second is for Mickey himself. He's losing his hearing. Any luck prayer for that?
He's losing his
hearing.
I didn't do that on purpose.
I would have done that on purpose had I thought about it. Definitely in prayer. Sorry. How was he doing?
Yes, my friend David Teeter, who had the quadruple bypass operation, who was in ICU for over a month, is now out of ICU and has went through primary care, and now he's in a rehab facility, doing very, very well. So he's able now to do some walking. Of course, he was in bed for a long time, and even able now to operate his iPad, and even got an email from him the other day. So prayer for him, but still need continued prayer for he and his wife Linda.
Sounds good.
And the wise champ couldn't be here till this morning, but be in prayer for Brian. He had another birthday, and man, it's only downhill from here. That's right, but Brian's still way older than I am. So they say that what your mom say, getting old is not for the faint of heart. So be in prayer for Brian. No, actually be in prayer for all of us. So we're going to go ahead and pray, then we'll do the offering. But there's a lot of prayer requests. I'm not going to pray. Yes, ma'am.
Before the offering, we have the flower sale.
Yes.
And the wonderful outcome of $1,600.
Amen.
Outstanding. $1,600, that's amazing. That's a lot of flowers.
We're all in Phil and Pat's front yard yesterday.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
thank you.
And Brian moved and Larry.
Are they all gone? All the plants gone? All the flowers?
No, we're still delivering. We're not
fighting. I know you deliver.
They drive by and throw them out of the car. They don't stop and plant them. So if you'd pray with me, then we'll get into the offering. Heavenly Father, we come before you, the throne of grace. We come before you, the creator of all things, the one with the perfect plan. And there's so many prayer requests. We're not going to go through all of those this morning, Father, but we've taken them down. And we pray, Father, for all of these folks that are struggling with illnesses, struggling with spiritual challenges, struggling with the things that are just constantly attacking us from all sides. And Father, we know that you and through your Holy Spirit, we have the power to overcome all things and stand firm in what we believe. and stand firm in knowing that you have a perfect plan for us. Father, we just raise all of these prayer requests up to you. We lay them down at your feet and request that, Father, you address them individually as you see fit. Father, all the opportunities will come out of these things to spread the gospel, to share the good news with those that maybe don't know. We know, Father, that some of these folks are going to go home and be with you, which is an incredible celebration. Father, we just pray that sometimes the grief that is brought about by those celebrations, that it's the opportunity to tell somebody about the gospel and about who your son is and what you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. In Christ's name, amen. And so, God loves a gracious giver. I didn't forget. He was like, whoa, don't forget money. We're going to talk more about money, too. But God loves a gracious giver. Gracious giver is one who is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of being involved with the family. It's a family matter. It's the congregation. And so we're going to go into a quick prayer for the offering, and that the Holy Spirit will work through us, whether that's financially or physically or through prayers, to support the things that we need to have done within this church and that He wants to have done within this ministry. Not just the youth ministry, but the ministry that every single one of us has throughout our community. So, Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning to let the Holy Spirit work through us. Let us be gracious and joyful in our giving. And Father, we just pray that the things that we gather to get together today in this offering will be used to glorify you, to spread the gospel throughout the world, and to continue to build this ministry of truth. And that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all of these things. In Christ's name, amen. So now that we've emptied our pockets, let's jump into the a little bit of an overview of SLAM. As I mentioned before, SLAM was amazing. We had Servant Leadership and Missions, in case you're not sure what SLAM stands for. We have to remind people, we have to remind ourselves, because sometimes we get all carried away with some of the fun and craziness. It's like, what's the point of being here? And it is about Servant Leadership and Missions. And this year, our theme for the year was Stand Firm, and stand firm in what you believe. Right, and so we spent a lot of time in previous years, and I'm going to have Lori talk about the car challenge and things that were going on. But in previous years, we have done our car challenges. In the car challenges, we gather all these kids together, and we leave from the two different schools, one in Wiley, one here in Plano, and then we turn and we head towards Terrell, Texas. And before, we had what we call a car challenge. So each of the cars would get a challenge, and we would stop at a Walmart or CCs or something like this, and we would go out and we would challenge the kids. They'd get in groups of three or four, and then we'd spread out all over Walmart. And before ask somebody what they believe. Just ask them. Just go up to somebody and say, hey, what do you think happens after you die? Or maybe it's the car challenge might be, hey, what can I pray for you about? So we were challenging the kids to go out and really spend some time getting comfortable in a group with each other, talking to people about what they believe. Because oftentimes these conversations would turn into, well, this is what I believe. I believe, when you die, they dig a hole, they throw you in it, and, you know, you're worm food. Awesome. Appreciate the fact that's what you believe. Have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? And we didn't even ask them to really push on any. Just what do they believe? Because most of the time it would turn into some sort of a conversation. You got a bunch of kids running around with the same colored shirts on, and they attack Walmart. The funny part is I have that feeling that Walmart has never been so blessed in the entire time that that they've existed. But that's just a personal opinion, by the way. That's not anybody else's fact. But this year we really spent some time focusing a little bit more inwardly. Stand firm in what you believe. And what is that that you believe? And how are we going to stand firm together? And what are the things that we need to do? So, like I said, Lori wanted to talk to you about the car challenge a little bit. Weren't that what you were going to talk about this morning? A little, we'll let her talk about what she wants to let her. Not right this second. I was queuing you up so you knew later so you didn't get mad at me. And so our verse this year was 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. And then going on to verse 14, do everything with love, 1 Corinthians 16:14. And so that was our verse, and that was the theme this year was stand firm, be strong. Right? And so we gave the kids a variety of verses and passages and do you have my Bible, Nick or Ben? I'm looking for my can I just see your pamphlet right there? I know you guys won't be able to see this very well. Thanks, buddy. We're good. Got it. Just hold on to that. Nope, we're good. Because watch this. See this? This is our pamphlet that we put together. And Lori spent a good amount of time taking the verses. And we give these to the kids. And then they have a series of passages. And then another series of verses. And then they have notes in the back so they can. And we can get you these if anybody wants one of these. But the whole point was, how do you do that? How do you stand firm? And so we spent some time talking about that with the kids. And the way SLAM works is the seniors this year, the ones that are getting ready to graduate, the seniors in high school, they were leaders of families. And we put all the kids, so we had 42 kids go with us this year. 42 kids went to SLAM. It wasn't but like 4 years ago that all of Liberty Youth Camp only had 40 kids, right? And now, maybe it was a little longer than that, but now we got 42 kids going to SLAM camp with us. And that's amazing to have that many kids take off on a Friday afternoon, come back on a Sunday, and we spend hours, literally hours, opening the Bible and talking and teaching and studying. And all day Saturday, I think we spent probably maybe 6 hours on Saturday, and then another 2 or 3 hours on Sunday in the Word of God. And this is what we were trying to teach them. Right, and this is what we were talking about. And so the kids put the plan, do all of the planning. They plan the activities, they plan the different stuff that's going on, and they get together as a family, and we give them one of these passages. And so one of the families had be equipped. How are you going to stand firm? Well, you have to be equipped. And they talked. They spend time prepping for SLAM camp, putting together a lesson to teach on Ephesians 6, the armor of God. They do that. And then they get up as a family and they teach it to the rest of us. Right? Same thing with build where God puts you, Nehemiah 3 and 4, the temple wall. Join with like-minded believers, Philippians 2, stand with others in Christ. Know that God's plans never fail. In Judges 7, Gideon's army. And so they put the teaching together as part of their planning sessions that go on before SLAM camp actually starts. So 3 weekends before we go to SLAM, the kids all get together and they build these things out and they study together and then they take things away and they put PowerPoints together and they get videos and they do all of these things that are just amazing. And then they come in and they teach. And I won't talk for everybody. In fact, I'm going to have several of the staff stand up and tell you a little bit about what they saw. And then we have a couple of the kids. They belong to us. They're going to tell you... They're going to tell you a little bit about, you know, a couple of their favorite things that happened. And on that note, I want to make sure that everybody understands, we don't have a ton of kids that come here. But the power of the way that God is working through this congregation is amazing. Because we have hundreds of kids that are impacted, directly impacted by what this congregation supports. Hundreds of them. So I just want to let that sink in. They may not sit in these pews or chairs, but we are directly impacting hundreds of kids who are impacting thousands of kids who can impact millions of kids and adults. Sorry, thank you. And so what I'd like to do is Phil did all of our teaching outside of what the kids were teaching. Phil came and was our pastor for the weekend. And he talked through 4 points. And so I'm going to let Phil take a couple of minutes, if you would, and just kind of tell him what your thoughts were and what a little bit of this teaching was about.
Yeah, stepped the wrong way.
It's worse there.
Agree. Here we go. So we have you saw the passages that each of the four groups got. You know, this is not a superficial exercise for these kids. I dare you to go home and read Nehemiah chapter 3 and chapter 4 and come up with something you could teach others about with. You know, Nehemiah chapter 3 and chapter 4 is about rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem after they came back from the Babylonian captivity. And even I read the thing and wrote to Lori and said, I got the right place here in the Bible. You know, this is an area where they're talking about dividing up the sections of the wall among the different families and working on the wall. That's not a passage you hear a lot of people jump on and say, let me teach about the wall, you know, and Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. Ours would, of course, but yeah. For he'd take 3 months on it, you know. But the kids do a tremendous job in preparing those lessons. So, you know, they don't get just one little thing where we come and sit them down and lecture them for hours and hours. They spent four weekends working on their passage and bring together teaching material. So aside from just what we did at camp, you know, they had, you know, probably 6 or 8 hours of Bible study that as they pulled together things just to do their own little presentations. So they gave me the 4 passages that the kids were going to be working on. And I have 3 opportunities to teach while we're there. The first class, we did Colossians 1, 6 through 11. Wonderful study. We should try that sometime, Colossians 1. But typically the way that the format that has developed, we didn't really try to do this, but over the years that we've been doing SLAM, I'll teach on a passage like Colossians 1, 6 to 11, and they do a pretty good job of paying attention to me. And then I give each of the 4 family groups a passage of their own that I've picked out that kind of relates to those concepts that I'd covered in that one. So we did Colossians 1, 6 through 11, and the kids looked at 1 Corinthians 15, 58, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 5, Isaiah 26, 2 through 4, and 2 Peter 3, 17. For those of you taking notes, nobody got those. But they all got one of those verses, and they would have time to read it, discuss it, and find those concepts, and then they would each group would read their verse and report, you know, the ties that they found. Sometimes I would let them get a word in edgewise. I get a little eager sometimes, but they do a fantastic. A fantastic job of analyzing the scriptures, and when you talk to a room full of teenagers, you never know what's getting home. You know, they're doing all kinds of strange things out there, sleeping, talking, you know, looking at their Bibles, doing this and that, and you think, well, nobody's paying attention to me, and then you give them an opportunity to look at something and give it back to you. And you're amazed at what got through to them, you know. And same thing happens when you teach them Latin, by the way. They don't give it back as well, though. Let's see. So we did the Colossians passage in the first one. And that's where our 4 points mostly came from, is that the things that hold us together, the things that we're standing, that we're able to support each other through as we stand together in the gospel of Christ, is to give thanks for our fellow believers, and I think they really took that to heart. They were, I saw a lot of relationships among the kids as they talked to each other that, you know, yeah, I didn't see people talking before, you know, and when we'd done this to that extent. Pray for your fellow believers. God gave us a magnificent opportunity to see that in action with Fassel. And, you know, when we're out there in the boonies, there isn't very much cell reception, especially if you're an AT&T customer. And it's only when you're in a certain spot or like we go by the mess hall, my email box would fill up, you know, because you'd get a connection and download. And I go through one time and we got the notice from Carrie that Fassel had typhoid. And I told everybody about it, and we prayed about it, and I wanted to send her some encouragement, and so I did an email to send to her. You didn't have a signal or anything. Walked down the hill, boom, went out. Some came in, it went out, and then I lost connection again. It was like very selective that I received it and was able to respond to it. And then the next day, then we got the confirmation that the way Gene Cunningham put it out when he wrote that letter was, Fassel's recovery is nothing short of miraculous. And when we heard that it was just Fassel is sick, we prayed for him as we would pray for anyone that is our fellow believer and soldier in Christ that we want to support, you know, and we want things to get better for them in God's plan. But then we get this notice that that someone who did not believe in the Most High God had taunted and said, "Ah, we prayed, you know, we cursed him and, you know, we've made him sick and his ministry is going to go, you know, the work of his hands is going to be nothing." We're, you know, then our prayers changed, you know. Our prayer was that those people would be put to shame, that everybody would know who the Most High God is. So we expected nothing less than miraculous. And that's exactly what we got. You know, we all have our own struggles in life and challenges, and we're going to we'll see that as we work through tribulations and we support one another. But when people start impugning the name of the Most High God, they're messing around in an area that they're going to get put down. That isn't going to stand. That isn't part of our challenge and tribulation. That's between God and the unseen forces there. And so that was a tremendous opportunity to look at how prayer for your fellow believers is so important. It was so cool that we came up with be motivated by the rewards in heaven, because I did the first class and I got quite a few questions about where we learn about rewards and how that works. Is that a good thing to think about? And the second class that I did was in 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, and it was already answering those questions that came up. And my point here is that God, the Holy Spirit, pulls this thing together every year in a manner that just boggles our minds, that we see the connections being made. You know, you have five cooks put something in a pot. Usually you're not going to get something magnificent, you know. But it seems to work for Slam Camp. All these cooks get under the direction of God, the Holy Spirit, really pulls everything together in a great way. So in the Corinthians passage, we looked at 1 Timothy 6:17-20, Ephesians 2:19-22, 1 Thessalonians 3:7-13, and Romans 5:1-5. And so there's again, you know, a passage that I taught on and a passage that each one of those groups looked at and told the other groups about. Okay. So that's, you know, at least five passages per teaching session, plus the four passages that they came in. And these, some of them was one verse, some of them are two chapters, you know, different, just depends on what we chose. And then in the final class, I taught about, standing firm and how it's so important that we support one another and pray for one another, because there's really few of us. The passage that I taught on for the final class was Matthew 7:13-14, where Christ talks about the narrow gate, that we enter through the narrow gate. The world doesn't see the importance of God being glorified through God's work. And most people who call themselves Christian have no difference between any other religion that simply wants you to conduct your life to prove that you honor God, right? And whereas in Christianity we have a totally unique perspective in that we're gonna rely on God, and God is gonna do all of the work. And that's why it's the narrow gate, and that's why it's because there's few of us, and we want God's plan to go on through us. It's important that we support one another, give thanks for one another, pray for one another. We can be motivated by the rewards that we will receive in heaven, because they're not rewards that glorify us. They're the rewards that glorify God. They're the things that prove God worked through us, and validate his plan. So it's okay to be motivated by rewards in heaven. And the last thing that was so prevalent in all the passages that we worked on was that your faith is proved by the outcome, the love that you have for your fellow believers and show your fellow believers. And that's something that came up in almost all of the passages that we had. We talked a lot about how that love looks, and what's the difference between that love and the love that people talk about, either romantic love or the harmony of mankind kind of love, you know, that people say, well, you know, you call yourself a Christian, you know, why don't you support us letting millions of refugees come into the country and taking care of them and showing your love towards them, right? And the answer is, if my government is showing love, I'm not doing anything, you know. And the whole point is that your personal life expresses that love, not simply I'm going to let my government demonstrate that love for me. So we had a lot of I think the upshot of it is that when you have real faith, real trust in the real object, it delivers a real result. And I think our kids really got a good picture of that, and that their lives are to have that this gospel that they stand firm in, the gospel of Christ's work, it's going to have a difference in their life, and it's going to express itself. And they had a good picture of that, and they got a good opportunity to study the Word of God. They saw it, you know, 15, at least 20 different passages where they looked at that in the Word of God. And the fellowship and the work of the Spirit was just tremendous. And always I am absolutely blessed to get a chance to teach at this class. So thank you guys for all that you do and making that happen.
Yeah. So I just brought it back. Faith is proof by love. You know, the kids are asking a lot of questions, and when you talk about the lemon tree produces the lemons, mm-hmm. and the apple tree produces the apples, how do you know if you're walking by faith? You know, the kids are asking, how do I know if I'm walking by faith? How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit working through me and it's not just my work, you know, my power? And Phil was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, just like the lemons on the lemon tree, and it was just really great how that came back around. I think that really hit home with a lot of the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking by the Spirit, you're going to see the love and the joy and the peace and the patience. Mm-hmm. And if you're not seeing those things in your life,
You're not walking by faith. You're doing it in your own power. It was awesome.
That's two that were listening. Because he wrote down the 4 points, so I know he got it. Yeah, Pat was listening.
There were a lot that were listening. So what I'd like to do next is just give some folks, actually, let me make sure, I'll check my notes. We got a couple of campers here, right? Ben and Nick. This was Nick's first time to get to go to SLAM. And I don't know if he's choking on a donut or what back here. I'm going to ask these two guys. So, as I mentioned before, we don't have a lot of kids that are here today, but they were impacted. And Lori's going to read some of the notes from some of the campers' parents here in a second. But I'd like to have Ben and Nick just... Real quick, fellas, you don't have to spend, in fact, don't spend like 20 minutes. But just tell us, what was your favorite thing and what did you learn? And I'm going to ask you guys to actually use this microphone. So come on up here for a second. I'll just have you stand off the side. Two questions. Come on.
Just for the record, this is like the only time I've seen them shy in the last 5 years. They are somewhat comfortable in their skin.
Yeah.
What was the question? What did you learn? And what was your favorite part?
Okay.
Whichever one you know where you want.
Okay. Well, I think one thing that I learned, so my group, we were doing the armor of God. We were doing the equipped. And I've heard about the armor of God for a long time. We did a whole camp on it a couple of years ago. And I knew a lot of the stuff, but I never really read the whole passage. It was Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 is really where it talks about it. And something I learned from that is in the last two verses, it talks about like fearlessly spreading your faith and being open with your faith and not hiding. And one of our people in our group, we were talking about how the armor and how it relates to the actual, how the Romans would use it. So she said that all the armor that they wore when they were getting dressed for war, it ended up being really, really loud. And so like their enemies could hear it coming from before they could even see them, and they would strike fear into their enemies before in battle. And that was just something that really struck me because it's like, don't hide your faith. You got to be open with it. You got to spread it. And just let people know that you're a Christian and what you believe. So that was something I thought was really cool, and it's something I learned this weekend. And then my favorite part is probably... all the small group discussion was really cool because you really got to know the people you were with. It was a lot more intimate than anything else I've ever done. And also, all the games that we played, that was really cool. I'm competitive. So I like to compete and play games and stuff, and I like to win. Yeah, we did win. Okay, so we recently, when we got home from camp this year, we gave a name to this symptom that we've had for a long time. We diagnosed it with a name, and we started calling it PCD for post-camp depression. So it's when you get home from camp, and all your friends are gone, and it's just kind of this like empty feeling. Because you're back in the real world. You're not just surrounded by people who believe the same thing as you and with people that you really feel comfortable with all the time. So, yeah,
I'd say my favorite part of camp was... the small group and like the lesson being led by other people my age, because we can have a better connection with each other because they they're going through exactly what we're going through. Maybe not exactly, but we're in similar situations. I knew that. And I learned, it was during Ben's lesson, actually, God kind of hit me deep in that lesson, because they had one slide, it just said, don't blend in. And then as soon as I saw that, I went into my book and just started writing. God got me writing, and I have a whole page just from that lesson. That was amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, thanks. You guys are good sports. You have to put up with mom and dad doing camp preparations 360 days a year and still get to come and be a part. So, what I'd like to do is, I know this was Pat's first slam camp. She went up with us, and that was awesome. I love when Phil's teaching and she redirects. It was awesome. In love. No, it was actually really, really cool. So, Pat, would you tell us what your favorite part was? And
anything you want to add? Well, I was there for the first time because for all these years, Ryan wasn't old enough to go to camp, so I was grandma at home all the time. I had Camp Grammy all the time. So this time when I went, I tried to sit as close as I could to a group of kids that were a family and listen intently to what they were saying to each other. And then I would watch Phil or Chris or someone else teach, say something, you know, and watch them react. And one of the favorite part, and it's kind of strange, was Kinsey was teaching the other kids, and she looked up at me and said something, and said, yeah, just like what Grandma said. That's the only time she called me Grandma. She acted like she didn't know me. And I learned that those kids are serious about learning the Bible and using what they know in their schools. And that was wonderful.
Pam, do you want to add anything? Or Lori? Pam thought it was awesome. Pam has addiction problems. That's what I heard. Oh! Mr. Langston, would you please edit that off of the tape? Lori, what would you like to add?
Pam, pushed me kind of the first time, and I couldn't have been more thankful. It is such an encouragement to watch these kids, and especially after 4 years, because now you see the ones and how they have grown in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I just go because I'm the first aid lady. I always end up being part of the,
not true.
What do you call it? The family, parents of one group?
Yeah.
And that's a blessing too, because we're just there to watch and not direct. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do it all, guys. Mm-hmm. So it's when I said I'm addicted to it, I mean, I have a deep sense of joy that brings it. And the PCD that happens for staff is just the same.
Yeah. It really is.
It's we really feel like a family over there, and it's a joy. That's it.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. I think we should be writing down all the blessings we all see from all around, because it would be at least a book. This year during the party, I call this the oldies. I don't know if y'all like that or not. But the oldie staff, we went out front and sat out in lawn chairs, which that was a whole experience, that campfire with everything. But that was a new time for us. We had... not only did we have 42 kids there, we had 13 of seniors in high school. We had 5 college kids that came from their colleges and took that weekend and drove and came in. We had Cameron came from A&M. He brought a buddy of his who he does Bible study and accountability with. We had Brandon Frederick, if some of you remember him, that came up from UT from Austin. He was finishing a project. He had stayed up late. He hadn't slept. He came Saturday morning, and he made the trip, answered prayer that he came. Brianna Lassiter came, and Cameron DeLand came. So we had five college students that told the other kids, it's not that we have extra time. We have made a commitment, and we have figured out we love you guys that much. Our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is that important in our lives, and we will adjust other things around it. So that was just a continued blessing for those young kids to see that as mentoring. That here's kids that just walked in their shoes, continuing to make that the priority in their life. So we continue to find ourselves. So we went out front, 10 of us out there, the oldies, around the campfire, listened to this party going on with this music in there. And we were trying to get out of the way so they could have fun so we get tired. And then Chris gave them a hard time because there were kids coming out going, we're tired. Can we go to bed? And we're still out there going, you know. We're like, wow, we're outlasting you guys. But Ed's not here this morning. I know he would have a lot to share. Just we are so thankful for Ed. I mean, y'all know he's come to this church and stepped right in with the youth ministry and everything with our church, and it's just been a huge blessing to all of us and those kids. And Debbie and Donnie O'Neill also have gone with us. This was the third camp Debbie has gone to with us, and Donnie's second. And they are the church we've been praying for that Phil has gone and taught at, and Chris went and taught at and answered prayer there. They voted on merging with another church. Herman, you don't have to worry anymore. They've merged with another church who has a pastor. So they had answered prayer, and they have been blessed by their time with us, and we've been blessed with our time from them. So just want to recognize all the staff that was there. My absolute favorite part is, for me, was after the party, a lot of the kids start breaking up. The college students took the seniors and went out to the basketball court, and they really have some good conversation about their spiritual journey and how they're pursuing that, obstacles they face. Well, we had several of our 10th graders that are the next oldest group that just decided we need to have some conversation, and they really took it upon themselves and were very much leaders and got the rest of some of that group together. They met out in our big living room, I'll call it. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop Ben and Nick, I'm sorry, but just hearing some of their conversation, they started off playing some games, and then the conversation really became about them sharing, praying for one another, encouraging one another, specific prayers they had and things they're dealing with, getting in the way of their relationship with Christ. Just amazing, amazing. I wish I could just share it all. I wish I could have recorded it, but such a blessing. So thank you, guys.
Then we made them go to bed. It's, sleep is not a priority at that. Yes, sir. Yeah, that was encouraging. So we get to slam. They go into the dorms, and within 15 seconds, they hit an 8-foot long fluorescent light bulb with a football. You ever seen one of those explode? Then I cleaned it up, just for the record. So I'm going to roll into the slideshow. Let's see if we can get this to work real quick. It's a couple minutes long, and then we will we'll go from there. So let's see if we can get this thing to work, get the music to work with it. Yeah, please, would you turn the lights off, please? Go.
Days will come when you don't have the strength. From all you hear is you're not worth anything. Wondering if you ever could be loved. And if they truly saw your heart, they'd see too much. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are made for so much more than all of this. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are treasured, you are sacred, you are, yes, beautiful.
Song here in a second, but I wanted to give a quick update on where we are with Liberty Youth Camp. See, more technology. Redirect. To finish up with SLAM, I wanted to let Lori read some comments and give some perspective from some things we've heard post-camp. And so these are comments that have come from parents. We have a lot of parents that are not what I would consider actively involved with any of the ministry with their kids, but they are recognizing that things are changing in their kids. And so I want to let Lori share those few things, but please be in prayer not only for the young people themselves, but that they can have an impact on their families, on their parents, on their siblings. They are in touch with a huge number of people. And so this is the kind of stuff that we are hearing feedback from some parents and families.
Hold on. Most of these are from Larry. She, y'all know, she hates not being here this morning. But she had received just a couple of texts from kids, actually, and parents, and then I just had one to share, too. Okay, so these are from Larry. I just wanted to say thank you so much for letting me be a part of Liberty, so one of the campers that go to youth group with Larry and Brian. I just want to say thank you so much for letting me be a part of Liberty. I truly feel renewed, and my heart hasn't been this happy in a very long time. I'm so thankful for your family. And here's another one. Hi, Miss Wise. Just wanted to say thank you so very much for such a great weekend. I'm eternally grateful for all the work that you and your family do to make it possible. Love you very much. Thank you. So glad to have been a part. I needed this weekend more than you know. Love you guys. Then one from a mom came yesterday to pick up flowers and said to Brian Wise, I'm not sure what y'all are doing with my son, but he is completely changing. He's so pleasant, spends time alone reading his Bible, and I'm so thankful. As she's tearing up. And then one more. Just some friends we've had for a long time. The kids talked for hours. It sounded amazing. Thank you for giving selflessly to Liberty Youth. Your light shines bright.
And so we're going to close the SLAM part, then I'll give you a two-minute overview of where we are with Liberty Youth Ministries. But I want to see if I can actually make this work. Golly, I got so fancy, and now we'll see if it actually happens. Okay. Yes. This was our opening song at the very beginning when we were doing a candlelight ceremony with everybody.
Could get loud.
And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will.
Some of you might remember that song from a long time ago, right? So the last thing I wanted to touch base on is an update on Liberty Youth Camp. So I mentioned earlier that our vision for Liberty Youth Camp is to share the gospel around the world one child at a time. And I think we are doing what God wants us to do in that space. We opened registration for Liberty Youth Camp this week. On Monday morning when we got back from camp, Terry put the application out on the website and we sent out a notice that said, hey, registration is open at 5:30 Monday morning, which was really dedicated because I don't know why you're up at 5:30 putting that on there. So Leslie or somebody was up at 5:30. It was not me. But we had 100 campers signed up by Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. So in about 29 hours, we had filled Liberty Youth Camp for this summer. We have 21 campers on a waiting list right now. And of the 100 that are signed up, we have 20 campers that have never gone to camp with us before. We're going to have some campers that aren't going to get to come back this year because we're full. But if you look at our vision, share the gospel around the world one child at a time, we've got 20 more campers that we can share the gospel with and help them understand what it is that Christ wants to do in their life or what he has done in their life and what God has planned for their life. And that's 20 more kids that can now will be, have the opportunity to go out and share the gospel across the world and impact the thousands and then the millions and thus a movement is made. Not one of those weird movements, though, by the way, just for the record. So that's where we are with Liberty Youth Camp right now. Lots more information will be coming. What are the needs for the Liberty Youth Ministry right now? Prayer. Lots and lots of prayer. We can't pray for these kids enough. We can't pray for the staff enough. We can't pray for what God wants us to do enough with these kids. We do have financial needs. We are The expenses last year were significantly higher because of the facilities cost, the food cost. Things are going up. We've raised the price of camp this year, so we're at $200. We are still below what it costs us to do camp, but we are still about half of what it costs for most camps through churches today. There are some other ones that are out there that are
for less than half at the pastors' conference. The camps that they advertise at the conference, $750 per kid. Another camp was $700, $650. So we're more than half.
And we did it on purpose. We have made a promise, a commitment to ourselves that we will never turn a kid away because they don't have money. We have 8 kids that are signed up for camp this year that are on 100% that need a scholarship, 100% scholarship. They don't have the $200 to come to camp. Parents are out of work, whatever the case might be. So ministry needs, I got 8 campers on scholarship. We'll probably have a couple more as we pull them off of the waiting list. I'm looking for folks that want to sponsor a kid to go to camp. It's $200. We can tell you their first name. We won't tell you their last names, but we'd be more than happy to share with you a name, so you can be praying for them. You can be praying about them. If you're interested, awesome. Love to have you sign up and do that. Staff needs at camp, kitchen, waterfront, counselors. We have folks that have gone year over year over year over year and worked in the kitchen, and, man, what a ministry that in and of itself is, because guess what? These kids don't come back. In fact, they don't come unless we feed them. I don't know why. But that would really change the dynamic at camp if we didn't feed them. So, waterfront, counselors. So, we're starting what we call succession planning. We're trying to teach some of these kids to be able to come in, these young adults now, graduating from college, all that sort of stuff, to come in and be a part of this and start taking over some of these things. We're going to have a lot of young staff that are going to be counselors this year, a lot of graduating seniors that will be coming back, we pray. And so we do always have needs there. And so that's the update. I don't know why I tell you it's going to be like 30 minutes, because I've never hit 30 minutes. Yes, sir.
Sure.
Absolutely.
The 100 limit that you have, is that just based on the size of the facilities or something, that you can't take more than 100?
So we can take about 125 to 130. If you ask Larry, we can take 120. In these facilities, we stop it at 100 so that because there's multiple dorm facilities and those are broken up by ages and genders. So once we hit 100, we know we're 3/4 of the way in all of those, and then we slot the kids in off of the waiting list where we can till we fill up a, let's say, boys' dorm, right? And so if I run out of space in the boys' dorm, I'll move over the boys in the wait list. To date, we've never turned a kid away. To date. This year we will be turning kids away. I really don't. Let me back up for a second. God will plan that out. I foresee that we'll have to turn kids away this year because of the fact that we are already full. We already have 21 kids on the waiting list, so we're at 120 kids signed up, and we're not even a week into registration. So we made a decision last year. We had a camp and ministry discussion amongst the congregation and the staff, and we've made the decision we don't want to grow significantly larger right now unless God changes the plan on us and says, hey, yeah, you're going to. We are trying to work with some other churches, because you got to recognize that 90% of these kids don't, 99% of these kids don't come here. They go to other churches, or they don't go to church at all. And so we are working with some other churches trying to see if we can show them, hey, go start your own. Go build this thing somewhere else. Or if God says, nope, we want you to go over here, we want you to have 250 kids. The challenge is, honestly, is the staff for it. It's very difficult to get. We get 40 staff for 120 kids because of kitchen and all of the other things, and keeping the cost down, because we lose about $25 per we charge about $25 per kid under what it costs us. So we don't make it up in volume. when we make it up in volume, it costs us more and more and more. So there's a logistics thing there. Yes, sir.
eight kids, you are in need of coming up with scholarship money, or you already have that set up?
Eight kids that we are in need of scholarship money for. Okay. We'll figure out how to get them there. But with our fundraising and things like that, we know we need to have a certain dollar figure. And I'm going to share that with us in a couple of weeks. But we have eight kids that have requested full scholarships, the $200 scholarships. We're asking to see if anybody would like to sponsor those kids to go to camp. So, yes?
Probably too late for this year, and a thought came to my mind about the how about day camp or satellite camp that can be coordinated at the same time, right? And teaching the same lesson, like different staff group, and you coordinate it?
Yeah, that's definitely an idea. I'd love to talk to you about how that technology-wise would work. And logistically, and there's a lot of things that go into that, but I'm open to any ideas, recognizing that also this is a part-time ministry for us. So I could turn this into a really, really large camp for 8 weeks of the year if we wanted to. But I got a lot of people that have jobs, right? So, no, that's a great idea. Any other questions? Be more than happy to answer.
Did anything interesting happen at Walmart? Every now and then you give a report of something interesting that happened.
So I think I cut my conversation off there. I didn't close it. We did not actually stop at Walmart this year because this year we actually went to the IHOP for dinner. Not that that's overly important. But we had it was good, though. We had a back room, and like I said, this year was really focused internally on the kids fellowshipping together and understanding how we support each other in standing firm. And so, what's that? The body of Christ. And so it was very much focused on fellowship and getting to understand what we believe and challenging each other. So it was very inwardly focused this year. So we did not do that at Walmart. But I can tell you that the lady who was serving us, there was two ladies that served us at the IHOP and the cook, they were absolutely blown away at the manners, at the joy, at the just pleasantness of this group of 42 teenagers and 10, 12, 16, I guess, staff, right? They were absolutely blown away and very much appreciated where we came from and what we were doing. So
the challenge inside the car,
yeah,
was to, when you became a believer, how you became a believer. And so the kids had that discussion amongst themselves, and they were kind of quiet about it. Phil and I had a van, but they were talking, like, those people don't need to know what's going on. But when we got in the restaurant, I took on the challenge with the adults that were at our table, and I asked them all to give me what happened and how they became believers. All of them sitting at my table had been Baptists in the past, except for me. I'm the only one. I had to justify why I still believe.
And all the former Methodists showed up with potluck, right? So, all right, so that's all I've got. If there's no other questions, it was an amazing weekend. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and hopefully it brought some joy to your heart as well.
Okay, people, you can complain about the millennials, you can complain about the young people, or you can pray for them. I absolutely love what's going on. I mean, can you just imagine 40-plus kids give a whole weekend and spent the time studying the Word of God? That is, to me, is awesome. And that's more than supportive of your prayers, of your money, and your time. That is, to me, is just unbelievably awesome. Okay, next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Not that other word. It's Resurrection Sunday. And give us your handout. We'll change a date for you. And because it won't be next Sunday, we're going to have a resurrection special next Sunday. And so please bear that in mind about next Sunday. Be in prayer for the young people. And let's close with a word of prayer. Yes?
I was just reading ahead for the. It says, does your pastor know how to rightly divide the word of truth?
Are we supposed to answer that, or is that a...
You can answer that. I'm not afraid of the answer. You might say he overdoes it or something like that. Carries it too far. So let's close with a word of prayer. It's been a wonderful morning, in my opinion, hearing what 40-plus young people did that last weekend. So I don't know what you did, but that was just an absolutely phenomenal, rich weekend last weekend. Let's close in a word of prayer and get ready for next Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this humble assembly. We thank you so much for all that you're doing with it, getting the word out throughout the world on the internet, supporting our missionaries, our own assembly, where we study the Word of God, encourage one another, and Heavenly Father, our youth ministry. Pray, Father, your Spirit will take what was done last week. Don't let it just drop. Let it enrich these young people throughout the next few months, recalling something they learned, something they themselves studied, they saw in the Scriptures. Let them be enriched by it, Heavenly Father. And Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your love. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.